We are here to discuss why Greece, from the alternative fund manager's perspective. And I have an excellent company with me here today. Mr. Nikos Koulis, Chairman and CEO of Teka Investments, who is the investment manager of the Orama funds. Mr. Takis Solomos, co-founder and partner of Nikos Koulis, who is the chairman and CEO of Teka Investments, the investment manager of the Orama Fund. Mr. Takis Solomos, co-founder and partner of Helikonos Capital. Ms. Eleni Bathianaki, managing partner of Halkion Equity Partners. Mr. Lambros Papakostadinou, executive chairman of the board of directors of the ALT Holdings. Mr. Nicholas Christanthopoulos, senior partner of EOS Capital Partners. And Mr. Nicholas Karamouzis, executive chairman of SMEP Limiting Cup and board member of the ANAS Foundation. So, in recent years, we have witnessed a significant transformation of the Greek market. Nikos Koulis, you have started your first fund in 2014. How has the investment environment in Greece changed since then?
Oh my God, it's in a few words, it's day and night. At the end of 2014, when we started, perfect timing, we're about 2 months before the most radical and most importantly unprepared government of the last 50 years took power. The government was not in speaking terms with the opposition. The economy was in shambles, actually practically bankrupt several months later. There was no banking sector to speak of because the banks were burdened by a heavy load. It was impossible for small companies to get any leverage. So it was a very difficult situation. The companies, what they needed at that time was capital, was badly needed capital just to replenish their machinery equipment and sometimes even just working capital. I mean, there were situations, horror stories, where they had orders from top-notch rated firms and they did not have the money to buy the raw material. However, regardless of all this, the economy continued. It was difficult. I remember the first couple of years we inserted Grexit clauses in the SPAs. This year, 10 years later, is a totally different ballgame. We have a stable government that's pro-market and to some extent making changes to make changes and reforms. We have an opposition that is a serious party. I don't think anybody would be alarmed if at some point PASOK becomes a government. The economy is doing well. It grows faster than the average of the European Union. The country is integrated with the core of Europe and the Eurozone. It's a totally different ballgame, and banks operate, they're healthy, and the ample credit is provided. So what do banks need at this time? What do companies need at this time? We find that more and more of the owners of the companies realize that just doing well in Greece is not going to make it for the next 5, 10, 15 years. They need to be bigger. They need to compete successfully internationally, either in Europe or worldwide, depending on the sector. And this requires three things. It requires size, talent, and capital. And that's where we come in. We offer to either buy the company and build them up or buy a significant minority, building up and then sell it. And at this point, I should just highlight, I'm sure my colleagues will do further, the importance of what we call value building. We are not a mutual fund for non-publicly traded companies. We roll our sleeves and work very hard in order to add clients, make it more efficient, increase the value of these companies. So this is a very different environment. We're very bullish about Greece right now. I think all of us, we are going to do well, having done well in the difficult times. And we are bullish about Greece.
Thank you. So Ideal Holdings is the only listed company in this investment companies group. Why did you take the public path? And can you explain, can you give us an insight on the advantages and disadvantages of this choice?
Thank you very much. First of all, we started as a private equity vehicle, but we had a different approach than anybody else because we didn't want to follow the path of investing in smaller sizes and in minority, which didn't suit our NDA. So we said at the very first moment that we want to follow a different route. So we decided to, let's say, focus in higher enterprise value than what the rest of the successful people in here do. And we wanted to position ourselves somewhere between where the big international boys are, girls, whatever, and at the same time based the rest of the Greek private equities. So we started like that, but then after 2 or 3 years that we've done a couple of investments, we realized that if we want to raise more money and we didn't want to address the supranationals and raise money from this type of investors, then it would be difficult to raise money in Greece from foreign investors for the Greek market. So we said, okay, we tackled the idea of the public vehicle. So we found a public vehicle and we approached them, and basically we've done a reverse equity swap where through a reverse merger we found ourselves listed. It has pros and cons versus the, let's say, typical way of investing through a private equity. You cannot avoid discount in some of the cases. However, gradually you work on that and people realize and understand what's your real value. On the other side, you have a permanent capital which gives you the flexibility not to run behind time, which in some cases people are very, although they like the investment, they have to sell or they have to divest or they are forced to take a decision, which in our case is not that. Under the Greek standards, I would say, because you have to basically see where you stand. So it's easier to raise money because you can go through a process, and if you like it, you can either raise capital through the public markets or you can do a rights issue and you can fund an acquisition. It's totally different, I would say. The investment process is exactly the same with all the rest of the people that are in this panel, which means that we also have a five-year horizon. Basically, in our case, it's probably a little bit smaller in terms of the time period. So, because we try to go in and out within a five-year horizon, because on the other side, you have the pressure of the public markets that it sometimes requires you to deliver results. So I would say there are plus and minuses. So far, in our case, it works extremely well. We have the luxury of investment larger tickets, so our average ticket is much larger than the rest of the Greek private equities. We have the luxury of doing acquisitions up to 100%, which is not easy. We were the first ones that were doing majorities in Greece in terms of Greek funds. The only ones that were doing majority were the international funds. And this changes. Now, other Greek private equities try to move this way, which is a different approach. I think we're all happy. We're all happy with the Greek market. We're all happy with what we have achieved so far. And to be honest with you, if I turn the time backwards, I would never change what I've done.
Thank you. Great, thank you. So you say we are happy with the market, that the market has changed. Nicholas, this is maybe why you are so many now in the market. So since the first launch of your fund in 2017, the market participants have increased substantially. So are you, is this sector getting crowded? Are there enough deals for all? What do you think?
Thank you. The market has indeed expanded rapidly. It has quadrupled in AUMs to over 2.3 billion. We have more than 25, nearly 30 new teams since at least EOS came into the scene. The impact of the private equity industry has been pretty impactful in terms of multiplier effect on the companies and the economy. You see that even from a fund of 150 million like EOS One, we managed to double the size of our companies in terms of revenue and increase jobs by more than 2,000. So that footprint is good, and you know you are probably want to think that you need more of that. And that's why I think that for three main reasons, We are not too many. First of all, private equity does this for a living. It allows companies to grow faster in a shorter time frame. It gives them network, sophistication, capital, discipline, and the ability to accelerate. So we need to close the gap to Europe. It has to happen, and I think more is better in this case. Number two, we also need to see the whole spectrum of private equity being covered. So Labros mentioned it before. We had the early stage funds. Then we had growth funds in the SME world. Then the mid-caps, larger funds now, even permanent capital vehicles. So you want to cover the whole spectrum, and I think we have not covered it sufficiently yet. And finally, from the side of the allocators, institutional investors, sophisticated family offices, you see demand for more products, for different types of products. That's an important stimulus for us because people are feeling more confident with the risk profile of private equity as a whole. So that's important. And I think by catering to that need, we will see further growth in the sector.
Thank you. Well, Eleni. First, Mr. Karamouzis. Is the current supply of equity financing to SME sufficient, even to meet the existing demand, or there is still an equity financing gap?
Thank you very much for the invitation. First of all, economic and financial conditions in Greece have improved tremendously. This is the first point. Number two, the last 15 years, gross fixed capital formation as a percentage of GDP is fluctuating well below the Eurozone average. That has resulted in an accumulated investment gap of 100 billion euros. So Greece needs substantial amounts of investment the next few years to restore productivity gains, which are falling behind, and restore the conditions necessary to achieve sustainable high growth rates. In addition, this enormous investment gap is accompanied by another saving. Gross national saving is only 7 to 8% vis-à-vis 25% average in the Eurozone, and the country overconsumes with consumption, private consumption GDP at 69% versus 53% in the Eurozone. So the country needs a lot of investment, a lot of investment. Where they would come from? Number one, internal capital generation, positive. Corporate profitability is up in every sector. In some sector, has tripled in the last few years. Dividend payments is only 5% taxed. That's positive. Second, the banking system has become very liquid. There are 40 billion euros, at least in my assessment, just around in their balance sheet to be loaned out. This is a positive condition. Number three, there is a growing local private equity market. There are over 30 funds the last few years built, managing 2 billion euros. 30 funds, 2 billion euros. That is growing to become a major factor. And the help of the Hellenic Investment Bank is very important because they have contributed commitments of 800 million euros. So it's a combination of private money and European Union and state support. There are also foreign direct investment. Unfortunately, 54% of the foreign direct investment are directed to real estate. This is not bad, but it's not very productive. And also the rest, the majority, goes to acquire existing portfolios or acquire existing companies which have low multiplier in terms of investment and GDP impact. So given the saving gap, we need to provide strong incentives to bring billions of foreign direct investment. Okay. Finally, in that area, access to the capital market by the SME is very small. That's a minus, a big minus that we have to address this issue. But the major point I would like to keep in your mind is that Greece offers enormous investment opportunities, despite that we operate in a continent that is in deep trouble. 55% of our exports of goods and services are directed in the Eurozone and Europe area. That's a lot. So if Europe suffers, Greece starts the race with a big disadvantage because it operates in a region that has no dynamism, no technological advancements, and suffer from a number of serious issues. I would stop here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Elena, now, we understand that in Hagiou Negative Partners, you stand for best in Greece, best of Greece, as an investment platform. Which companies fill this criteria? Can you elaborate for us?
Yeah. Thank you. First of all, thank you very much. It's an honor to be surrounded by this group of professionals. And I guess investing in the best of Greece for Halkion is not really a vision. It's rather a working platform. It's the way we operate throughout all our functions, from the fundraising to the value creation and to ultimately the investment decisions that we make. So what we have seen over the last years is that companies have become more resilient and resourceful. And at the same time, we have observed that across industries, there are a number of small diamonds that you can find. So we have taken the decision to be completely sector agnostic and look at the whole industries, not only technology, not only food, but rather look at all the different sectors and apply specific criteria. In that sense, the key questions that we ask is, okay, is this sector disruptive enough? Can these investments be innovative? What is the strength of the management team? What are the growth criteria? Can they actually cross the border? Can these companies be international? And I guess the companies that qualify to be called the best of Greece, they have some qualities. I guess the number one is the star quality of the management team. There needs to be resilience. There needs to be a strong commitment to grow. And this is the number one factor that we take into account. The second one is that there needs to be a unique product proposition or service proposition, in a sense that it can, through the investment, they can be innovative, they can really expand outside the borders. There needs to be a third factor, which is the industry that they operate. We look at factors like, okay, what are the consolidation? What are the key drivers? What is the next growth area for this industry? And I guess being also ESG conscious and trying to make an impact is a huge factor for us as well. So I think we have moved to this decision, and what we're trying to do is actually identify companies that are good and make them great. And I think we do have this potential.
Thank you, but I have to ask Eleni, do these diamonds belong to any women business? Did this business belong to any women? Do you have women entrepreneurs in this diamonds?
We have recently announced an investment in a female fund company. Yes. It was a great honor because it is really not only female founded, but it qualifies and passes the test for all the criteria that we have set. So it's an excellent management team. It has a unique DNA and a very clear identity. It has all the potential to grow abroad. And also it operates in an industry where a number of large transactions have taken place. It's a huge consolidation play. And we strongly believe that it's going to be a good investment for us. Thank you.
Takis, Elkonis is now launching their third fund. How would you assess the conditions in the Greek market based also on your current deal flow?
Right. Thanks so much. I would like to thank Nicholas and Olga for inviting us today as well. They have done a great job all these years, and I can remember years that back in 2012 or 2013 that the rooms were not as full as today, and it's a great development. We started as Helikonos Capital back in 2012 with a very small fund of 17 million euros. We raised another fund in 2018 at 85 million euros, and now we plan to have a closing in the first quarter of 2025 at 120 to 150 million euros. The market, as Nikos said earlier, has changed dramatically to the best, and it's quite fortunate for everybody involved and also for Greece as an economy and as a country. First of all, the GDP that we operate today is 40% higher than compared with back in 2012. GDP, when we started, was a mere 190 billion US dollars. Today, we expect 2025 to reach 265 billion. So that means that there is a lot of activity and significant numbers around us for us to finance and companies to take advantage of and try to grow on the back of this development. In addition, there is significant increase as a percentage of investment, as a percentage of GDP. The average in the European Union is around 20%. I mean, 20% of the GDP usually is investments in a country. Greece fell back to 5% during the Greek economic crisis. As Mr. Karamouzis mentioned, that created a huge gap in investment and capex in the Greek environment. And today we see that this have jumped back to 15%. But there is room to grow and there is need for capital. And third, but also equally important, is that there is a private equity market today. Back in 2012, there was no active private equity group operating. There was only the initiative of the European Investment Fund that gave us the opportunity to launch small businesses. But then HBDI and Mrs. Liberopoulou and her team, they really jump-started this sector, and we need to underline this, because they are funding, I would say, most of or all of the funds that are investing in the private equity sector in Greece. And I think this makes the difference, together with the EIF and the EIB, that we also need to mention here. And all this is created a market, and we can tell from the deal flow that we are today examining for investments for Helikonos 3 that it is extremely vibrant. There are all these companies that they want to initiate capital expenditures and enhance productivity, production capabilities, and reach other markets. There is significant credit from the Greek banking sector. However, the companies need also equity to strengthen their balances and manage to leverage this with the banking debt that is in abundance. And it's another great development. So there is need for minority investors, and we see a lot of opportunities to invest as minorities. And this is a very unique proposition in the private equity market globally, I would say, because Greece is among the few markets that there are very good deals for minority investments, which is not the case usually in the advanced, let's say, private equity markets like the US or the major European markets. But also we see a lot of buyout opportunities that are fueled by the developments in the succession concept of the Greek entrepreneurs and the Greek family companies. When I was a kid, I remember everybody was trying to groom kids to become the next, the third or fourth or second generation of entrepreneurs. I do believe that this has changed radically. Owners, they realize these days it's very difficult to pass on a company to a young person, despite of the level of education or the level of experience, the complex, the international complex business environment that we are all deal is so difficult and challenging that companies need professional management and synergies with other, let's say, individuals or professionals. And we do see a lot of deal flow for buyouts driven by the succession issue that has arisen in Greece recently, in my opinion. But I think the most important message that I would like to pass on today is that there is significant deal flow, and I'm sure that all my colleagues in this panel, they do have a lot of work to do. And it is great that we can see and select quality companies to invest.
Great. Mr. Karamouzis, a difficult question. Thank you. What are the barriers that are still hindering the flow of private debt capital for equity investments?
In 2019, we launched a corporate turnaround fund. We raised 142.5 million euros from 42 private investors. Today, we are close to end up the investment period, and we have invested in several companies, and we have a very clear philosophy. To make money in Greece, in my view, you have to more focus in the SME sector. There are 2,500 companies with turnover between 10 million and 75 million, most of which cannot compete internationally. They are too small. We have the smallest, on average, corporate size in the Eurozone. So we play the strategy of buying, restructuring, consolidating, growing, okay, and play with the SME sector. In the previous 5 years, we create sector leaders. We consolidated the market in the vet clinics. We have created the Plakendia, the biggest and largest vet clinics network in Greece. We have created the leader in the area of facility management. We bought company by company, merged them successfully. Today they are making 140 million euros turnover and profitable. So the idea that we execute is, as I said, we believe a lot in consolidating sectors, in creating viable and resilient players, and occasionally leaders. What are the sectors that we like to focus if we proceed in the second fund? We don't do real estate, not because it's not good, just not something we know. We don't do technology, because it's not something we don't understand. We do logistics and transport, green and digital transition, hospitality and leisure, agriculture, pharmaceuticals, food and beverage, specialized health services, light manufacturing, import substitution, that's a very important strategy. Greece imports 300 million euros of tomatoes every year from where? From Holland. I mean, this tells you a lot about the conditions of the Greek agriculture. That's a great opportunity that no government so far has exploited. Retail trade, agro-business, and building materials. These are the areas that we understand better and we intend to focus in the future. The problems, gap between what the owners believe the company is worth and what we assess. They believe they have two Goldman Sachs. We don't believe that they have one. And so there is a gap between what they expect as a valuation and what we can offer. Difficult to attract talent, especially with family business. Family business from blessing is turned out to be a problem because the second generation could not be escaped as the first one. And feuds are breaking everywhere. So we want to play an active role in that, resolving family feuds in terms of succession plans. It's the financials you read is not the financials you get. So unless you do a street type due diligence, you are about to face the problem down the line. And we are very careful with that. Finally, the issues with the government has improved a lot. To the credit of the government, has improved a lot. But bureaucracy remains. Judicial system is an archaeological division. It's bye-bye, Margarita. And so you have to be careful to avoid getting involved with the Greek bureaucracy, because that could delay your investment projects. Finally, Greek family business do not love ESG. They think it's a joke. So corporate governance is not their strong point. And that has several implications about the culture you meet in these companies when you enter. And on that, we have a decisive approach that they have to change. They either accept the change, accept that they have to move to the new era, or they'll be out of the company. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Eleni, you focus on the implementation of a strong value creation roadmap. What does this entail? on top of the capital provision, what are the key value creation factors that an institutional investor can bring to the table?
I think Mr. Karamouzis has said them all.
No, I'm joking.
I think, as Nikos Koulis said, capital is the starting point, so you start with that. I would rather say that we have now moved into more, let's say, structured transactions. We may keep our investments for longer periods. So essentially for me, we have two areas. A traditional PE investor would look into four main value enhancement methodologies. This would be operational efficiency, organizational upgrades. We will focus on buy and build strategy or organic growth for new products and services. But I think we have clearly moved to a PE era 2.0, where more is asked by us. And by that, we need to look at what technology can bring into any sector and in all the companies that we invest. We need to invest in efficiency. And for me, a critical factor is to invest in the human capital. Unless we do that, there is very strict, let's say, barriers on how much the companies can grow. There was an analysis by the Harvard Business Review which said that the PEs allocate site that human investment in human capital accounts for more than 70% of the overall value creation, while operational efficiency only stands for 30%. So I think this is key. I think we are in this position right now where we can gain a lot of good brains back to Greece, and there is this huge interest of coming back to Greece. And I think we need to actually work on this front. And this is how we as private equity investors can assist that, because obviously when we put our capital and a vote of confidence in this company and we have a very clear roadmap for growth, people can trust and talent can come back. And that's it.
Thank you, Lenny. Nikos. Obviously, your objective is to create attractive returns for your LPs. Mm-hmm. However, we're curious to learn whether your investments help the local and national economy as well.
Well, I agree with you. I believe very strongly that companies should do what companies do and the government should do what the government is voted to do. So our focus is one, and only one, is to generate value for our shareholders, period, full stop. The problem is, and the interesting thing, rather, not the problem, the interesting thing is that if you do this, do it correctly, obviously following all the laws, then you generate value and you help the local economies and you help the people. And the interesting thing is that when the government takes a measure, let's assume as they do in Greece these days, they give a subsidy for the electricity. This affects millions of people in a small way. What private equity does, when it does something as constructive, it affects in a profound way small amounts, a small number of people. The people that work in a company that doesn't close because you put the capital and help them. The people that receive actually the payment at the right time and they have insurance. It affects the well-being, it affects the family budget. And perhaps to some extent, it also helps the local community. And this is quite important. I can give you two examples. In the first fund, we invest in 10 companies. I can tell you there is no doubt that two of them would not have been around if we had not invested. They would have closed down completely. And now they do have, you know, about 400 people working happily. They are paid well. They observe the laws. They have the insurance in some creative ways. One of the CEOs has even created a little, the sort of basketball league, and they play together, compete. They are proud for what they do. They're happy and proud for what they do. So, yes, what we do is focus on maximizing the value of the shareholders. This is not our money. It's their money that they entrust to us. And our obligation is to do this. However, it is very important to believe that, to believe us that we're contributing to this, to the society. Last and the first fund, we're fortunate enough to generate a 2.5 times increase of the value of the shareholders. So in terms of returns to the money they invested. I believe that all of us around here can do the same thing in a better environment as today. But what I would like you to ask you to believe is that we don't only generate money for the shareholders. We do provide, we do help the local communities in a way that you can see it, you can touch it if you go and see some of the companies we invest in. Thanks.
Thank you. And Ambrose, What are your plans for 2025 in alignment with the course of the Greek economy?
You don't expect me to say I'm going to do that.
No.
Look, yeah. All right, don't take notes. As explained, we operate in a different model. So for us, first of all, as everybody says, we all believe that the Greek economy is going to perform well, better than the average of the Eurozone, I hope at least, for 2025. So I cannot go further because I wish I knew what happens 2026. We don't even know what's going to happen in 2025, to be honest. So for us, being an investor that invests in Greece, mainly I would say, then we have to invest our money there. On the other side, as explained, we are operating a different model where we take larger positions in smaller number of companies. So we're not in a position where we have to diversify a portfolio by investing in 10 different names. So far we have invested directly or indirectly. Indirectly, I mean through acquisitions we've done with the companies we have invested. We've done 6 transactions where we have invested around 270 million euros. We have exited 2 where we have raised, we managed to get back 170 million, which is around 3 times our money in each investment. What are the plans for 2025? We expect, hopefully, to invest and do at least 1 transaction. Hopefully, I would like to do 2 transactions, to be honest. The problem with us is that you have to find something that moves the needle. So it has to be a 3-digit number transaction. So not 10.9, I mean 3-digit. So basically, that's the problem. However, we still believe that there are opportunities in this area in Greece because, as I say, we cover a specific part of the market which is difficult for other people to focus. And we believe that there are opportunities there. So, just to finalize, as I explained before, parenthesis, is that we don't have to return the capital to investors because it's permanent capital, so we can still invest more, and we have the luxury of if something is good and our share price is good, then we can also issue shares. So we have a much larger arsenal that we can use. So to summarize, we expect that hopefully we're going to have 1 exit. Don't take notes on that. And we expect to have at least 1 or 2 investments within 2025. And that's it.
Great. Thank you. Takis, you are in the process of divesting in Elgonos 2. Do you see an increased interest by international investors for the acquisition of Greek SMEs?
Thanks so much for the question, Athenia. We all here, we are extremely interested for the exit side of our business model. I think if we are all going to be successful, and I do believe that everybody in this panel is going to be extremely successful, then the industry is going to grow more and more capital is going to be available for SMEs in Greece through private equity funds. To that extent, attracting the interest of foreign buyers is of extreme importance for the economy and the industry. We see that foreign direct investment has increased materially the last 6-7 years. Now it's about on an average at 5 to 6 billion euros, and there have been years during the Greek economic crisis that was 0 or 500 million euros. So there have been a significant increase in the foreign direct investments. And however, a foreign buyer is always great news because usually these buyers, they tend to have more synergies in combined with the target that they acquire, and that means that they can pay more, which is very important to us. They will pay usually a larger multiple as evaluation from evaluation perspective. And so it's extremely important, and I'm very happy to report that the last 2 years we have seen a lot of interest for SME companies that we primarily invest in medium-sized, small, medium-sized enterprises. We have seen a lot of interest from international companies that they want to buy out this type of businesses. And I would like to share with you an example of a transaction that was extremely important for us, but also for the area that this company operates. So we recently divested from a company called ETPA. ETPA is in Komotini, is the largest producer of industrial labels in Greece. It's a company of around 40 million euros in sales, and was recently acquired by a major French multinational group that they bought out 100% of this business, and they target to invest significant in Komotini to enhance the production capabilities of this specific company and transfer a lot of their business from other plants that they operate all over Europe. So that means that we created this very significant return for our shareholders. However, as Nico said, we are created on the same with the same transaction, significant value in a very remote and difficult, as we all know, area, which is Evros in Greece, creating jobs, creating a local value addition for the local community. And I do believe this combination is the most important for us to go after, because at the end of the day, this creates the largest returns as well for our shareholders.
Thank you. Some self-criticism. What should the Greek asset managers do, in your view, Nicholas, to future-proof their platforms and become relevant to international investors?
I was planning to say something clever, and then Nico said that what we do for our companies is provide capital, help them grow, become extrovert, and attract talent. So maybe that applies to us as well. So. Of course, the investment mandate is paramount. Number one is investing. But if you look at the private equity industry in 5 or 10 years' time, what would you want to see? You would want to see larger companies, larger managers that manage more verticals, attract and retain talent, and provide more flexibility for their fulfillment in terms of their job satisfaction. And ultimately, the fourth maybe element would be to work in a collaborative way with people that have the same mindset. In Greece, we don't necessarily have that. We like also to be alone and to do things on our own. But when you have teams that can work together in a good way, I think you achieve better results. So scale to invest more in the platform, especially on the horizontal functions, and a wider offering, so more products for investment allocators, talent, options for the talent to grow within the different verticals, and of course, working with others.
Thank you. Well, it's here in this panel, we have the magic wand question, which is the question, if I had a magic wand, and it's here, you take your magic wand, and you make spells, and you wish things. But this year, I would combine this question with why Greece, because this is the theme of this panel. So, why Greece? Why invest in Greece? What would you?
But with no magic wand.
Well, if you want, well, what would you say?
The wand would be the same thing. I'm boring every year, but I think I will, until I die, probably I'll say the same thing. If there was one thing I would do, is to accelerate the justice system. This is the weakest part of Greece. We absolutely need not 10, 20, 30%, but 60, 70% acceleration. Otherwise, this is not going to fly. Now, having said this, which is actually a negative, and an important negative, which we need to recognize, the reason I like, and I believe that investing in Greece will generate good results if somebody does it intelligently, is because it has it is a country that went out of a huge recession. There is opportunity to grow more in order to reach the rest of the European Union. I think it does have a sophisticated, well-trained labor force. And as a matter of fact, you may have seen an EU report of last week that the Greeks, contrary to what our friends from Germany said in the past decade, they tend to work more together with the Polish people more than anybody else in the European Union. So we have a good labor force. We have the opportunity to grow. It has some areas where Greece has a sustainable advantage. For instance, it has
relatively inexpensive, very high quality electrical engineers. So if you pick your bets correctly and you pay attention to the people, because as Eleni said, it's the number one factor, then you can make very good money. And the fact that, as I said, we all make good returns in a very, very difficult situation, I think that is a challenge for us now. It's a much more benign environment. We need to surpass this.
Thank you. Takis, what do you think and what is the opportunity?
Look, the magic wonder, I think, is we say the same things every year. But I have to say that every year things are better.
And we need
to underline this, I would say. However, education, in my opinion, is the number one should be the number one priority of the Greek society, first of all, and then the government. I think the public universities and the public schools need to receive a lot of attention and investment. Skill sets need to be introduced, new skill sets need to be introduced, and everything needs to accelerate fast. And in my opinion, since Eleni and Nikos rightly said about the human capital and the importance of that, however, we need to educate our kids even better. And I think this is something that should be the number one priority.
Really? Well, I would ask for political stability. I would ask for the next 3 to 5 years to have political stability so that Greece continues on this transformation and growth. And for me, it will be not whether we'll make it or not, but how long it will last and how far we can go. So that's for me.
Why Greece? Because we know Greece. It's obvious. When you ask money from investors, you tell them, A, they should trust you because you know the market, and because and they ask you whether the market has returns. Now, regarding returns, before everybody who spoke before me already answered, what you know about Greece is going to most probably outperform. So the answer is, if you really want to invest your money, you look for someone who knows the market. That's it. It's pretty clear. There's nothing else to say.
Like
retention of the confidence, so political stability.
And why Greece?
For the same reason.
For the same reason. I think you said why not. Now we want to hear why.
I would say that the last few years we have gained two very valuable economic assets, political stability and fiscal stability. And sustainability. So we borrow today at better terms than France. I hope it does not need our help in the future, okay? And Italy. And we're very close to Portugal and Spain. So this is extremely important that we do not have to sacrifice what we built with an enormous social, economic, and personal cost of thousands of people in the previous decade. Now, why Greece? Because our assets are still very cheap. Any way you look at it, you buy a beautiful apartment 200 meters from a sea that you can swim between 8 and 12,000 euros, and you go to Monaco when the water is dirty and you pay 100,000 euros per square meter and say, why not? I mean, 10 times more expensive. What more Monaco is having than Greece than it has? Plus, it's a very pleasant environment to live, very secure environment. Greece is a peaceful country. Is a member of all the major international organizations. And so overall, the driving force, I think the assets are still very cheap compared to the other countries. Thank you.
Thank you. We have still time for questions, if you want.
We covered everything. You may want to come here so you can have a mic.
Adi Topalidis, I work at KeyBank Capital Markets in their investment bank in their M&A group. My question is, when you talk about some of the obstacles to private equity, Mr. Karamouzos actually outlined a few.
They call me Karamouzos, but it's fine. Karamouzos is very close.
The valuation gap between the owners. When in practice, change of control, there's a stigma that, you know, it's very difficult to transact with Greek entrepreneurs. does that lead to minority investments versus change of control? I mean, how has that evolved in your portfolios?
Who are you asking?
Actually, everybody.
Everyone.
I think the experience is different for everyone.
All right.
Except maybe Lambros, because he deals with larger numbers.
Change of control is challenging because it's emotional. Emotional to somebody who owns a company. But we do not do minorities anymore in this one. Why don't we do it? Not because it's unimportant, but because it's because we think at this point what we want to do is to to have the ability to affect all the changes, all this value creation, and build bigger, larger companies with focus international. In fact, we have signed side letters with some of the investors saying that with the exception of two sectors, technology and pharma, everything else will be majority. So it's a challenge, you're right, but I don't think it's something that people don't realize. What we find out is after the crisis, people want to do two things. They want to maximize, obviously, the value of their equity, but they also want to diversify, not to put all the eggs in one basket. So the combination of this usually leads to something where they sell 50, 60%, then we grow the company, and then they get more money later on. Sometimes it works, most times it works. It's a challenge, you're right, but not something that's too difficult to overcome.
I totally agree, and I think it's challenging, but as I said earlier, the succession issue is something that family companies, they are facing right now. And given the experience of the Greek economic crisis and the global turbulence and the problems that you have to operate a modern business these days in the competitive environment, I do believe that elder owners, let's say, they are thinking twice to pass over ownership to kids. And I think that has increased a lot of the deal flow that we're seeing right now. Most of the issues that we're trying to resolve now is succession issue. So I think this is something that is radically changing this right now, and it's an easier process.
Yeah, and I agree with Takis. We are completely flexible in terms of structure, so we do from substantial minorities to buyouts. The idea, though, is that you really need to have to agree from the beginning that this is going to be the roadmap. You need to show them that even when you enter as a minority investor at the beginning and then you're planning to exit, that they're going to also receive an upside. So you're going to do this journey together that will result in a substantial upside for him or her. But at the end of the day, it's really important to agree that this is a relationship that is going to exit at some point of time. And there needs to be an agreement to that. And obviously, the second generation, the fact that they will be part of a bigger organization, the factors like that do matter.
Pass. I've never done it, so I don't know minorities.
So if I may add, and this is why these transactions take long, because it's the first part of the transaction that you need to pass all these psychological issues with all the founders. So it's a lot of effort to explain.
All of the above, plus larger funds, bigger tickets, more flexibility and firepower.
Personally, I'm very skeptical to do minority investment. No offense to my colleagues, especially it's family business. It has to be a clear path to control and clear path to exit. Otherwise, personally, that's my own view, I find the risk to be more than the benefits. But again, as I said, no offense, other people have other approaches. That's life.
I think we have time for one more question. For Lambros, maybe, who didn't answer.
No.
All right. No, we're all set. Thank you. Thank you all.